Good morning, everyone. It's really a privilege for me to be here this morning, and I'm not going to say a lot now. As you know, it's our celebration service this morning, and I think, like normal on a celebration service, we'll be looking at video clips of about what we've done. We'll have testimonies about people that will be sharing about things that they've experienced this year, and we'll have the thank yous and all of that. But like I almost want to say, like I just prayed, I think it's really just a celebration of what God did here and what God did among us and God, what He did through us. And so we're basically just going to start off with a video clip of some of the things we did this year. And after that, I'm going to hand over to Paul that will facilitate some testimonies and we'll take it from there. Thanks.
Works every time. Great, yeah, it's such a privilege to be here this morning, and as we said, just to celebrate what God has done. I can't emphasize that enough, just talking about it last weekend as well. And a few people we've asked in advance to share a few things, but there's also the opportunity for other people to come and share this morning, and it's literally like we said, it's His testimony, it's His story, and we just really want to speak this morning and to say, you know, we honor God for what He has done in our lives. Psalm 119:167 says, "My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly." There's so many things to meditate on, but there's a lot of news this morning and things that people are going to be sharing that, you know, it's worthwhile meditating on and it's worthwhile spending your thoughts on. And I just want to encourage you this morning, open your heart and really, may you see what God has done in these people's lives and may it be an encouragement. Stefan, I think you can start.
How's it, guys? Everybody kind of knows me. I'm Stefan. I want to start from maybe just the ministry, shelter ministry, that I'm part of. I just want to, like Mike said, you feel so much joy, like bubbling out. That's how I feel about the shelter. It's really, it's very close to my heart, and every Monday that I go there, it's just amazing to see how everybody just gives everything there, you know, in the food that they make. If it's, mince and spaghetti, or if it's just hot dogs, you know, all the love and everything that goes, like, into the food. And, you know, afterwards, just talking to the people. I think, every Monday is like missions for us, I feel, when I thought about it last night. You know, it's not just going there and giving food. It's literally, you've got people there from Zimbabwe, from Angola, everywhere. So, I just want to thank you from the shelters missionary. I want to thank everyone for, just giving everything. It's awesome. Next year, I hope we can do a lot more, and there's even guys that came out of the shelter this year, got their own places, out of addiction. So there are some testimonies coming out of there, and let's hope for some more. Then just on a personal note, I think just looking at the men's camp and everything, I think I'm kind of a testimony of just how your life can swing into the right direction. I think I got saved 3 years back at a men's camp. And guys, you know, if they put out posts, I saw the men's camp advertisement on a Facebook post, and I thought that looks pretty cool, and that's how I got there. And no one told me. If we send out these things, just share. It's always just someone that looks at that thing and goes like, you know, I want to change my life. And basically I got saved there and just found my home in Shofar. And I think it was a bit of a long journey for me to really get my feet and get onto track. But like, God is patient with us. There's a lot of people that was patient with me here as well. And people just saw potential and saw, you know, I've got a heart for people on the street. And, you know, I had to be, I think the biggest thing I learned this year was obedience. If you're obedient and you really, you know, leave stuff behind that was pulling you back, then God will really make dreams come true or show you, you know, you've got this talent and you'll make things happen. Short testimony, the other day, I always put my Bible in the front of the car, and I sometimes wonder why I do it. And God just told me, leave it there for some weird reason. And I was doing a wedding shoot, and this guy climbed into my car, and he caught a lift with me to the church. And he picked up the Bible, and he asked about, you know, he said it was a nice Bible. And then the Holy Spirit just told me, listen here, this dude is ready. So it was so weird. And then through the drive, I had a chat with him. And afterwards, I also had a chat with him. And it took, I think, 3 weeks for him to come to the church. But yeah, it took two worship songs for the Holy Spirit to touch him. And yeah, God just said, welcome home, my son. And yeah, it's you know, just obedience. It's small things like that. That's small. It's a very small thing, but you know, it just shows you how God works. And like I said, if you're obedient and you really, you know, draw a line, like Philip told me beginning of the year, and just walk, you know, or try to walk the right path, then yeah, amazing things will happen. And also SOS, I think Boris can agree with me, it was really amazing, the supernatural weekend we had. I think before that, I struggled to pray for people. And after SOS, I think God just broke that. I don't know what it was. And now I'm just like, hey, dude, come here. I want to pray for you. So, yeah, you, like I said, really, if there's stuff like that, even if you have done it before, I think just do it again. You know, there's really things that can open up for you. Yeah, and I just want to thank Auntie Doris, you know, everybody, like I said, if you're serious about, you know, doing God's work, get someone who you can talk to, someone who can mentor you. Me and Auntie Doris talk a lot, and she doesn't hide around the bush. She tells me when I'm wrong. So, yeah, I just, Auntie Doris, I thank you for just discipleship. Yeah, and yeah, just being part of this family. I mean, like I always tell people, you know, it doesn't matter what church you go to, just find somewhere where you feel home and where you can slot in. When we moved into this building, the first day me and Auntie Doris came here, I told her literally, like, it felt like home. It was a different building, but it was still home. And that was a testimony of, you know, you're in the right place. So, yeah. Thanks.
Awesome, man. Karina, you can come to the front.
Okay, morning, church. So, I don't know, when I had to think about what to share today, I really didn't know what to share and where to start, because this year has just been quite amazing, and there's a lot of stuff that's happened, and God has really been so incredibly faithful. But I felt I wanted to share Zoe's story with you. Some of you have heard pieces of it. Some of you have heard the whole thing. I don't know if there's a lot of you that actually have heard a lot of it. So let me just share Zoe's story. So maybe I can start with saying that when we were pregnant with Zoe, we really trusted God for a name for her. And we really felt that part of her name is being rooted and grounded in God, but also her name in the end of the day, Zoe, means abundant life. So that was really actually quite special, and you'll hear now in the story. She, towards the end of 2015, around September 2015, she had a seizure, which I am not familiar with. I wasn't familiar with. I didn't know anything about it. But she had a very significant seizure, and I didn't know she was having a seizure because it wasn't like she was shaking. You get a type of seizure where you just stare into space and you basically literally zone out. So that's what happened to her. So I took a few minutes to actually realize what was going on, and luckily, well, not luckily, probably just God ordained, there was a friend there who knew a doctor, and the doctor was also there, and she quickly came to look, and she said, no, she's having a seizure, you must take her to the hospital. And there was another friend there, one of our male friends, and he took us to the hospital, and he drove like a good speed driver through peak traffic all the way, because Lady Pamba wasn't open at that time. So we had to go from United all the way to Mediclinic. So we chased through, and all the way I was just praying very loudly in tongues because I didn't know what to do. And this friend obviously didn't know what that was either. He knows what that is now. So I was just praying like a crazy woman and just trusting God for whatever, because there's a fear that comes over you that I can't explain. You just don't know. You just don't know. And you literally only have God in that moment. So it was really, really just so awesome to see God's faithfulness and how she even stopped breathing at a stage. And I just prayed. I just said, God, her name is life, and she will live. And then all of a sudden she came out of the seizure. She threw up, and at that time we got to the hospital. So that was awesome that she came out of it, and that was. But it was still scary because she wasn't actually herself yet. She was still out of it, even though she wasn't still in a seizure. But the hospital was awesome. They immediately took care of her, and the doctors came and everything. So eventually it took like an hour and a half before she actually became herself again, between which she also had some other seizures. But actually where I want to just get to is that just finding the support in fellow believers and their prayers and friends and family's prayers was so amazing. I just felt so lifted up. I don't think we would have made that if it wasn't for that. And in the end, she was diagnosed with epilepsy. We had to put her on medication, which we didn't want to do, but obviously we don't want her to get into another seizure and possibly this time not make it. So we did that, and we prayed a lot. We prayed with Philip and with our cell, with people in church, with friends. We researched what epilepsy is, where it comes from, the spiritual aspects. It was actually so interesting. The doctor said, your epilepsy is very, very strong in family lines, but they've never found a gene. They don't think there's a gene for it. So I was like, isn't that the definition of a curse? So we kind of tackled it from a spiritual aspect, and we prayed for her, we fasted, and we basically just trusted God. So in that time with the medication, she also, it was horrible to put her on the medication because she wasn't herself, she was a different person, she was completely, she's not really herself, very tired and everything. So it was a whole struggle all the time. We wanted to take her off. We don't want to risk her life. We want to be responsible about it and still all the while trusting God. So eventually in the beginning of this year, we really felt that she is healed, and we feel that she is healed, and we asked the doctors. So we took her for another EEG. That's just a type of where they put a hat on and test the brain scans and brain waves as they do tests, to see if there is still some abnormal brain activity. In the end, that came back negative. So praise God, there was nothing abnormal anymore. So then we actually just asked the doctors, then please can we wean her off the medication? And that is actually also a miracle that they said yes, because you're not supposed to put them on the medication for less than 2 years. So after a year and a half, because she had no seizures in between either, that was also another miracle. So we weaned her off. The doctor said, it's good, we can do that. We weaned her off, and all the while asking for prayers and support from friends and family, which is just so amazing. And in the end, we weaned her off successfully, and she's now, she's never had a seizure again. And we just really thank God. because she's herself again. She's off some medication, obviously, and she's her old bright self. Like a laugh and full grappies. And we're just so thankful to God for saving her life and for letting us take off the medication and really trusting God that she's just free of epilepsy now. So, yeah, God heals, and he's amazing. So trust him with your heals, your sickness, whatever it is. Don't take no for an answer. Don't take a diagnosis for what it is. Just trust God always. He's a healer. Yeah.
Sure, amen. I just want to open the floor now. I know there's a lot of people in church where significant things have happened, and Mike, you can also come to the front, but yeah, I just want to open the floor. So if there's anybody else that just wants to share their heart and what God has done in their lives, this is the opportunity. So I'm not going to call you by name. Do you want to call somebody by name? All right. Linda is not fearful at all. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, family. Hope you're all well. For those that don't know me, my name is Linda. I don't know, am I the only one that has goosebumps this morning? I don't know, I'm really just so, I'm feeling so much of God's presence in this place, and I'm feeling so much, grateful. Like, I just want to praise the Lord for his mercy, for his goodness, for his grace, just throughout the whole year, just thinking about what he has done in my life, in, I'm sure, in your lives also, and as we have heard from Karina as well, and he's just such a good, good God and a loving God. I don't know if you don't feel that way today, just trust him, because a lot of times I feel like we hold ourselves back from the goodness of God. It's available, we just need to grab it. So the one thing that the Lord showed me, the one very important thing that he showed me this year is, so I have been saved for quite a number of years, but then I've never gotten to that point where I actually made him Lord over my life. That means that, like, completely surrendering to him. So I accepted him in my life. I believe that he died for me on the cross. I really believed that. But then I never got to that point of trusting him as a father. And I think one of the roots of that is the fact that I also didn't really relate well with my dad, my physical father. So the way I really related to the father is based on what I knew. So, and that's the way I think it operates in our lives as well, because we relate to God based on what we know. And he just started showing me what it means to be a father, that he loves me so, so, so much, that he was willing to send his son to die for me on the cross. Like, that he's willing to do anything for me, and that his plans for me are to prosper and not to have any harm happen to me. And he has just shown me so much grace, and I've just come to that point where I can really say that I know him, I trust him. And the one thing he has also taught me is just obedience, you know, trusting him. You know, when he tells you, sometimes you hear it slightly in your head, he tells you something, and sometimes it's just the weirdest thing, or it just feels like, Lord, no, I can't do that. I can't trust you in this area of my life. And just walking in obedience, how he shows you when you just take one step, and he just starts to reveal so much to you. And so that's just the one thing, and I just want to encourage you, when you feel the Lord really pushing you, or just prompting you to do something, to take a decision in your life, do it. Because from that one step, it's like he opens up a whole new, something whole new just opens up. He just wants you to take that one step, and he works with us a step at a time. So just take that one step, and he strengthens you. And I'm just amazed at the way my life is right now, just the strength that I have, just how I feel so confident in the Lord, and I've never felt this way before. And just because I took a step of obedience towards him, and it's just really amazing. So I just want to praise the Lord. I want to thank him. He is great. He is amazing. And today, if you feel discouraged, or you feel like you're not there yet, trust him. Trust him. Just reach out to him. He says that when you draw near to him, he will draw near to you, and just act in obedience. Last night I was reading Daniel. I think I developed an interest in it after I think it was Pastor Philip who preached on it. And Michael was also reading the book of Daniel, so I decided to read the book of Daniel also. And the amazing part, or what really amazed me, was when Daniel was now, or when the law was passed that if you worship any other god, you'll be thrown in a den of lions. I mean, a den of lions, lions willing to eat you up and whatnot. I don't know. I fear lions. I won't go in a den. So, in Daniel, what he did was he was just like, he was so unfazed. Like, he did what he would normally do. He went openly, prayed to God, like nothing happened. Like, I don't know, but I don't know if anybody would do that here. But he did that, and he continued serving the Lord and praying like he normally does. Even though it was mentioned that if you pray to any god, you'll be thrown into the den of lions. And then he did that, and afterwards he was thrown into the den of lions. And also, what amazed me was King Darius. I mean, this king, he knew Daniel. He knew how much he served the Lord, and he knew the Lord's faithfulness. He knew how faithful Daniel's God was, and for him he was very agitated. He didn't sleep, he didn't eat. He was just wondering what's happening with Daniel, and I'm sure he even prayed for Daniel. And so early in the morning, I think he arose and he went and he called Daniel and he asked him, just paraphrasing now, "Daniel, did the Lord that you serve save you?" Like, I mean, he had so much faith in God, just seeing Daniel's life. So it was just amazing. And Daniel came out and he's like, "No, nothing happened. An angel was sent and he shut every lion's mouth." Can you imagine that? I don't know. I'm just really amazed at how great God is. If he can do that for Daniel, what can he not do for us all? So let us really have this fire for God. Let us go out there and display this fire that God has placed inside of us. Let us serve him, trust him in every circumstance. I'm so amazed. And in conclusion, I'd just like to say that God is really working in my life, and I'm trusting him for a greater testimony, and I'll be coming back here to testify and just of the goodness of the Lord. Thank you so much. I love you all.
Thanks, Linda. Mom Doris?
I can't be quiet. Morning, everybody. It's Mama Doris. First at all, I just want to thank you for Pastor Philip and his wife. What they've been doing in this church to lead us to the promised land. And after, I just want to thank you for Mike and Paul. What they didn't go away from the teaching of Pastor Philip. What they hold this church so hot. Because if the leader is weak, the church will be weak. But I thank you for Mike, my son, and Paul, what they've been put this church so hot, and all the leaders of the cell group. I thank you for my leader. My cell group is so hot. I thank you for my daughter Ilanda and Jao for the intercession. You know what I was saying? Really, this is amazing what you've been open. The house of yours for intercession. God is working on those two young people. And you know what? Let my family of my church, I really thank you for you, for everything what you're doing also in my life. In this church also, I thank you for everybody. I thank you for Stefan, my son. What also, he was always listening, all the time listening. Yuho, I thank you for you. I take you back. And you are back forever. And you will never go back again. Yes. Thank you for you, my son. Thank you for everything. Thank you for that two blessings what God has been giving to you. You know what? This is the blessings of God. Nothing else. Nobody else can give you those blessings. It's only the God. I really thank you for that son of man, Hugo. What is so respect and listen what the big people. I really thank you for him, and God must bless him together with his family. All the blessing to you, all my family in this church. I really thank you for everything. What God, he bring the blessing of our children and everything. Thank you for Lord also, what he's been healed, the son of Paul. What the enemies was coming to the son of Paul, because he know the father and the mother, they are so strong. But I was praying. And I say, enemy, I know your plans. Your plans is a dirty plans. If you don't get a mother and a father, I know you will go to the child. But you are under our feet. You are a liar. Thank you for my leader. I don't know next day what a leader, what you're going to have. Because our good people, I don't know what's wrong. They are moving out. But God, he wants us to be strong, to focus in the cross. I'm so really thank you for Pastor Philip. There is Pastor Philip, the one he doesn't know. Is Pastor Philip this one? You know, he take us where we come, we were, and he take us to the promised land. And really, I just want to each and every one, we must stay in that promised land. And I thank you for Mike. If you doesn't know Mike, there's Mike. There's Mike. Where's Paul? I don't know where he's going. Is Paul. I thank you for everybody because you know I was always praying. I was so little bit nervous after Pastor Philip and his wife, they're gonna say, Lord, what is going to happen with our church? And I was staying in my knee. I thank you for Reynold also, that big man of God also, what is also always when I say, Reynold, come, let we hold hand, me and you, let we pray. We pray. He doesn't deny. I pray for Mike. Me, if I stand up 12 o'clock, I'm sleeping 12 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 4 hours. I don't stand up so easily on my knee because you know what? I am a mother. I'm supposed to pray for each and everybody in the church. And I was so excited with Ilanda and Jao when they were saying to me, Mama Dora, where were you in that test day? What was called? I say, I didn't have a lift. Nobody was come to take me. Stefano was gone, was working, and was very cold in that morning. I say, Lord, forgive me because it's cold. They say, we were making for you a tea already because we're missing you. I really thank you, for each and everybody, the love, what you care for me in this church. I really thank you. Yoko, thank you so much for the love, what you've been keeping me the whole year. He never stopped to come to me. He was coming to me and I was praying. I was sending fire. I was ham. And I was now, I say, you go, work or not, you will come to Mama Doris. Yes, because you belong here. Because I know he likes to save too much. He likes to worship too much. He's a child of God. He loves God so much. In then Sederhof, he was worship. He was saving. You know, we have a lovely people in this church. Like my daughter, that one, what is on the office. You know, if the leaders is dead, everything will be dead. But our leaders, they are wake up. Pastor Philip, thank you so much. Thank you so much. That's why I'm crying every day. I'm crying every day for you and Anamara. I don't know, people. Let we pray for our leader, what is coming. Let we pray. I don't know if he's going to come to Pastor Philip. I don't know. Let we pray. God, he promised us to Jeremiah 29. He's having a plan for us, not a plan to harm us. A plan to give us a future life to prosper. But you know what? I don't know. Let we pray. Let we pray. And let us also be strong. Pastor Philip, when the men of God were coming here, I don't know the men of God, they were praising your church. Pastor Yaku also was praising your church. I think you know, God is busy to put this church on the higher mountains and sinners. We thank God. We thank God. I thank you for the shelter. What is so powerful. Stefan, I said to Stefan, when Pastor Philip was putting you on the lid, I said, what Pastor Philip now? And I didn't know. I said to Stefan every day, I say, that Pastor Philip is having anointing of Almighty. He see deep. He's having a discernment spirit. He see the person. He said, this person, I'm supposed to put him there. And then he can grow. Stefan, today, he's a fire. I was telling Stefan, I'm afraid of you because you are going up to me now. Glory.
One last one. Thanks, Sarah.
Oh, wow. For those that didn't know Mama Doris, you'll know her very well from this thing. Oh, yeah. When Linda was talking, I was just thinking, my name is Sarah, for those that don't know me. This is Toini. I've asked her to just come and share a bit also on the babies ministry that we run in church. The compassionate ministry where we reach out to moms and their new babies in the Katutura Hospital. About five, six months, the hospital called me to say that there's a homeless family, and they were just wondering, they saw a church letter there and with a name, and they know that we donate clothes. So they just wanted to know if we know of anybody that can help this family. And I was just like, God, why are you allowing this call to come through? You know, would you want to use me in any way to serve and to just bring across your glory? And I told the customer care officer that, okay, I'll be there in an hour or so. So I spoke to a friend of mine who also sort of has the same vision and the heart for these babies, and she agreed to come along with me. So we went to the hospital, and we went to meet this family. It's a boyfriend and a girlfriend who's 8 months pregnant and 3 toddler boys, and they're so dirty. And this man says this family has been sleeping at the hospital for over a week in the waiting benches because they're homeless, you know, and they eat, they scavenge for whatever leftovers come from the kitchen. And I looked at them and my heart broke, and I said, God, what now? What do you do? So I called Stefan and I asked him, look here, I've got a homeless family. You're in charge of the shelter. You know, can we, you know, make a way, sort out this family just to get them sheltered? And we sort of managed to do that. We put them in the shelter for 2 weeks. Long story short, we managed to arrange a wedding with friends of mine, you know, from different churches, to help this couple get married. We got them a place. We got the guy a job. And I can really just say it's God. It's God using the body, bringing every part of the body together for one cause, and that's to show his love. And for me, it's a great testimony. And I want to urge you, if you have something on your heart that God has called you to do, and you're afraid how you're going to work it out, ask him. Ask him to show you who he can bring in your life to guide you and to strengthen you, and take that step. Take that step and do it, because I know each and every one of us sitting here has a gift that God wants to use you. You know, it might not be babies in a hospital. It might be something else, you know. But you have been called specifically for something. And I pray that in the coming year that we really get that fire, you know, that Linda was talking about. That fire where we can go out and declare who our great God is. We serve a great God, not a whimsy God, not a dead God. A living God that wants to manifest his love to the broken world. And I pray by this that we really, really see ourselves moving out there and just sharing his love next year. Amen.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm Toini, like you said. Misty. what I learned from the Babies Cry Ministry was, sometimes we always ask ourselves, you know, what was I born for? But then there's always something that you can do for someone. And to see broken people come victorious, you know, come out of the pit, like the couple that got married. Even if sometimes you feel, you know, there's nothing that you can do, that will motivate you to, that there's something that you are made to do in this life. And it's not just the couple that we minister to. There's other ladies as well. There's one lady that we met in the hospital. When we found her, she was there holding the baby. Like, you can see in her actions that she's going to do something to this child, you know, when she gets out of this hospital. And by God's grace, we were there on time. You can see that was from God, because today she gave her life to God, and she's living with that baby and loving that baby. And it's amazing what God does in people's lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Toini. I can't echo that enough, that we're all called and we all have a gift. And for us as a church, that's basically where we are. We want you to be able to dream and to think, you know, and to know what God's called you for and to go for it. We want to really support that. That's why people who have come up today, they are flourishing just because they took that step and God does the rest. And Pastor Philip has the gift of thank yous. So he is called up next.
Thanks, Mike. You know, I think for us as a family, and I'm talking about my family now, not only the church family, but I think for the church family as well, this year, in a sense, was kind of like a roller coaster ride where you're starting at one place and you're not sure where you're going and where everything is going. But then you come to a place like this where we're almost at the end of the year and we look back and we can, like I said it earlier, but we can all testify. But, you know, through this ride and everything, God's been with us and really helped us. And, yeah, so I'm here only for the week, and then next Sunday will be my last Sunday here at the church, my last service. And about next year, for those of you that's wondering, my daughters, there is a couple that's coming, that's definitely coming. Pastor Yaku will be doing the announcement in January. So as soon as he comes, he will be introducing the couple to you guys. So there's definitely a couple coming next year. So don't worry and think, okay, what's going to happen now? But you know, I think the most important thing, in a sense, in my heart this morning, I really want to say to you guys is, we all know those Christian sayings of, yeah, but the church is the body of Christ and we are the church and all that kind of stuff. And I want to say that the church is not the pastor. The church is all of us doing what God has called us to do. And if you haven't seen it yet this morning, even, I want to show it to you. And I want to show it to you by introducing to you who's the different people in this group that's making church happen. And in doing that, I also want to honor them, because I really want to say this, you know, we can be a group of people coming together saying that we are the church. But if you don't stand up, if you don't take hold of ministries, if you don't have a heart for people, we're only a group of people coming together. We are not the church. It only becomes the church when we all become involved and start to live out what God has put in our hearts. Otherwise, it's an institution. And the church was never called to be an institution. It was called to be the body of Christ, representing Him. You know, like I said, I'm not going to call everyone to the front, because in the end of the day, there's going to be a lot of people in the front. So what I rather want to do is, I actually do want to ask Paul and Mike and your spouses, you guys must please come to the front. You can come. If it's possible for Saskia, she's probably in the back with the baby. You know, when we came to that place where we realized, but we need to move from here, and the church need to carry on. We've spent a lot of time really praying and asking God, okay, Lord, but what about the congregation? Because it's for us, me and my wife feel that we've invested so much in this congregation, and this is our life. I mean, yesterday we had, me and my wife, we spoke and I asked about how she's experiencing things now, you know, being in the shop that we've got, and she's really enjoying it, and she says it's not that stressful, but she really so misses everyone. She misses the people. She misses being involved in people's lives. So why I'm saying this, because I want you to realize that there's a gap in our lives because you're not there, if I may put it that way. But, you know, Mike and Paul and their spouses, because a lot of times people think, oh, but the pastor this. You know, a pastor is nothing without his wife. Your leaders that you've got, and whether it's these guys here, and whether it's cell group leaders, We're nothing without our partners. So I really just want to honor them for stepping up. And they did. I mean, this church is in good hands. You know, I'm in a place where this congregation, to me, in a sense, is like a baby or a child of mine. And I'm not sitting back in Piketberg worrying about it, the church, because I know it's in good hands. I really just want to honor them for what they are doing, but also for the way that they are doing it, really representing Christ. And then I want to ask, I'm going to call out some names. I want to ask you that you will stand up where you are. Before I do that, Raylene, also come to the front, please. I think when we realized it's time for me and my wife to go, we really spent time in praying, okay, Lord, that who's supposed to be in the office? And I don't think there's anyone here that can disagree with me now that Raylene is really a godsend. Raylene, you're meaning so much, not only to us standing here, but I know to this whole congregation. And in a huge sense, I think you're playing such a big part in keeping everything together. And I think if a group of people's in a place where we always know what we're supposed to do, how things is working, what's going to happen, when, in a sense, then we feel safe. And in a big sense, Raylene, I think you're the one that's making that possible. So we really just want to honor you for that. The rest of the guys, I want to ask you to stand up where you are at. And I know not everyone is here this morning, and maybe some of them is outside. But missions, the people in leading that, Josh Creer, Quinton Creer, Bertie Maritz. I know Bertie's not here. And I want to ask you guys to keep standing. Small group leaders, Adrian and Simone, Nudia, Karina, Mike, Maggie, Philip Maas, Tia Maas, Reinald, Grisel, Jock, Ilanda, Liesl Buita. I think I've got all the cell group leaders. Yes. Then some of the other things, the setup leaders, Jock Beekes, Ignatius, Philip Maas again, Arno, ministry leaders, Stefan Oosthuizen for the shelter, Elze for look and feel, Sarah for Baby's Cry, Marlies, Conradi, Christ Church is in the back, Esther, info table, Jock and Ilanda again, intercession, worship leaders, Ronaldo de Pisani, Frederik Botha, Adrian, Saskia, Maud Doris, I want to ask you to stand up, really fulfilling the role as a mother in this church. So I want to ask all of you just to look around quickly, because this is the picture of a church. It's not one person standing, representing the church or doing church. It's all of us getting involved, making a difference. That's the picture of a church. And only if this happens, then we can say we are a church. We are representing Christ. And then there's a lot of you guys that's sitting, and it's not a thing of, okay, so only those people are doing what they are called to do, anything like that. There's some of you sitting here that I know that you're playing such a big part in people's lives, where you're making such a difference in people's lives, where in your workplace or wherever it is, where you're talking to people about Christ. You know, that whole thing of where you just representing Christ. And there's a lot of you guys that looking back at this year, and for me, looking back at the last 2.5 to 3 years, looking at you, knowing where you came from, knowing where you've been and where you are now, I'm just amazed of what God did in your life. And I want to ask you that we give a hand clap, not for us, but for God, for what He did among us this year. I just want to pray for everyone while we standing, sitting, hanging around. Lord, thank you, Father, for us being together, Father. Thank you for what you've done here. Thank you, Father, for what you've planted in each person's life, Father. Thank you, Father, that we can see, Lord, that I think a lot of us, Father, we've sown. But, Father, we see a harvest coming up, coming in. And there's so much growth that we're seeing, Father, where we can say, but I had nothing to do with that. But Lord, you used a lot of us in small ways to sow seed. And Lord, you used other people to give that seed water. You, Father, brought life. You let your light shine on that seed, Father. And it became alive. And because of that, there is a church. And Father, I want to ask you, Lord, that you will use this church to keep on building your kingdom like you're already doing here in Windhoek. So Father, we want to honor you, firstly, for being the one of giving that life. And Father, we want to honor every person that's involved in this church for every part that each person is doing. Father, no one is more important than any other person. We all together are your body, and we all together are important. But Lord, so I just want to honor every person. And Father, I want to ask you, Lord, that you will give each of them the strength to carry on doing what you called them to do. And Father, where we are at this time of the year, where a lot of us maybe is tired, struggle to carry on, that you will be the one to give us the strength to carry on. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. You can take a seat. Then I'm not doing a sermon because some of the other people already did. I just want to share a scripture with you. It's Romans 12, and I just want to read from verse 9. And this scripture is written by Paul. Paul's the author of it. And it's written to the Romans. It's a letter to the Romans. And I think what we must realize, looking back in history, why did he write these letters to the Romans? The Roman people, a lot of them were into worshipping all kinds of gods. But through them, a lot of them came to Christ. So basically, it's a letter from Paul the Apostle writing to this group of people following Christ now, but not necessarily knowing what's expected from them. So I think it's important when we read something like this that we realize, okay, so that's why it's written. It's a letter to this group of people that used to worship other gods. Now they're coming into a new, may I say, into a new religion. And they got these questions in their heart of, okay, so how's this working? What's expected from me? And maybe a lot of us, I don't know if it's completely correct, but I almost want to say is birthed into Christianity in a sense where we grew up in Christian homes. But still we had to make a choice somewhere whether we want to follow Christ or not. But we've got that Christian way of growing up that we know, okay, this is what's expected from a Christian and so on. Now, I want to read this few verses, Romans 12 from verse 9 to verse 21. And where this is a letter to those people telling them, this is what a Christian is supposed to look like and supposed to do and supposed to be, might be a reminder to us of what's expected from us. And also, you know, the Word of God telling us this is what we are supposed to be. Reading from verse 9, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. I think it's so powerful in saying, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Not saying there's never going to be tribulation, it's going to be there, but be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, So far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will keep burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And like I said, may this scripture just be a reminder to all of us what's expected from us and what Christianity is supposed to look like. And may we really, I think, among each other, but also out there in the world, really live this in everything we do every day. I just want to close off in prayer for us. Thank you, Father, for this celebration service, Father. Thank you that we were able to come together, Father, and testify of your goodness, Father, of the things that you've done. Thank you, Father, that we can honor so many people for what you've done in their lives, but also, Father, for what they are doing for others, that willingness to step out. Father, I think there's so many things where it costs people so much to do these things, and other people don't always realize it. But, Father, you see all things, and therefore, Father, we just want to praise them this morning for what they're doing and what you are doing through them, Father. Thank you for this coming together. Father, please be with us in the fellowship the rest of this day, Father, and help us, Father, and really carry on representing you in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.